888-805-6477 or nhpr.org. Thank you.
Support for The Exchange Friday New Hampshire News Roundup is made possible by Centrix Bank. See beyond with Centrix Bank.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. It's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup today in The Exchange, and here are some of the voices from this week's top news stories.
I'm not going to make a statement yet because I'm not a candidate. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that, but I think it's hypocritical, and the horse has left the barn. You know, she's already spent, her and her allies have spent almost $750,000 on me.
In Massachusetts, when they took this pledge, it limited the outside money, it limited the negative attack ads. I think people are tired of those negative attacks, and I certainly hope he will agree to his own pledge.
We know that the public in general does not like Obamacare, and why on earth we would extend that undesirable program to even more people is a mystery.
Helping prepare resumes, helping them get registered in our job match system to start looking for work prior to their separation. And one of the other things that we've already talked about is, can we put together a quick job fair with other manufacturers in the area?
A young woman, if this bill passes, can get an abortion but cannot get a tan? An abortion would be legal, but a tan would not. Think of it.
And I'll be gone tonight. The ground beneath my feet is open wide. The way that I've been holding on too tight, with nothing in between.
From the top, that was probable U.S. Senate candidate Scott Brown and current Senator Jeanne Shaheen quibbling over a pledge to limit outside spending in the New Hampshire Senate race. Republican State Representative Neil Kirk at a House hearing this week on Medicaid expansion. Pam Jaschik, State Director of Employment Services, on her agency's response to major job cuts at Osram, Sylvania. Republican State Rep Steve Valancourt as the House rejected a bill to bar teens from tanning salons. And American Idol contestant Alex Preston of Mount Vernon, New Hampshire, who last night advanced to the show's top nine. Again, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup today in The Exchange, and let's hear from you as we discuss these headlines and more, including the likelihood of a state gas tax increase now that a key Senate panel has said yes. The Exchange number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. Our guests for this week's roundup are Dean Spiliotis, civic scholar in the School of Arts and Sciences at Southern New Hampshire University, author of the website nhpoliticalcapital.com. And Dean, good to see you as always.
Good morning, Laura.
And also with us, Gary Reno, Statehouse reporter for the Union Leader and New Hampshire Sunday News. And Gary, welcome back to you, too.
Good to see you, Laura.
Well, and gentlemen, Scott Brown, Jeanne Shaheen, pledges, money, advertising. Last time I checked, Dean, Scott Brown wasn't even a candidate yet. What's going on?
That's right. As we know, last week he announced he was forming an exploratory committee so that he could raise some money and go around the state doing what he called a listening tour, meeting voters and testing the waters, although he has said he's not sure he's going to get in. The word on the street is that he probably is going to get in. We've been talking, or perhaps sometimes not trying to talk about him for months now until he made a decision. It's been interesting. I mean, they both Senator Shaheen and Scott Brown have really kind of engaged each other almost immediately. Shaheen, in particular, over Brown's reluctance to sign a People's Pledge, similar to one he signed in 2012 when he ran against and lost against Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts, that would donate a portion of outside spending to the charity of the other candidate's choice.
So really diminishing the power of his money.
Yeah, basically a way to keep outside money out of the race. He has refused to do it. He said, you know, Shaheen and Democrats have already spent $3 million against him. Some Democrats have pointed out that money had already been spent in the Massachusetts race before he and Elizabeth Warren signed that pledge. You know, my sense is it's in Scott Brown's interest to keep this as a nationalized race. If he can do that, there is going to be a lot of outside money for him. It will allow him to ramp up and get going Real quickly, as you've seen, he's talked mainly about Obamacare and other sorts of nationalized issues so far. Now, he is not officially a candidate. And actually, I saw a clip of Senator Shaheen on the news last night, not even referring to him by name. That's a strategy that incumbents sometimes use. So I think we're just getting started here. But it has been amazing, given how long we've been waiting, how quickly they have engaged each other, particularly on this issue of outside money. And I think it's indicative of the way outside money has affected the process around the country.
Yeah. And NHPR's Brian Walston, our digital journalist, has a great piece sort of explaining how this pledge worked in Massachusetts, why it's being talked about the way it is here in New Hampshire. That's at nhpr.org if you want to check that out. It's very informative. A question for you, Gary Reno, real quick. Now, let's remind everyone, there are other Republicans running for this U.S. Senate nomination.
They sure are. I mean, there's Jim Rubins, his former senator, he ran for governor and lost in a primary. Jim Rubins has been out there for quite some time.
Very active campaigning.
Very active campaigning. And we have Karen Testerman, too, who has been campaigning for quite a while. So, and we have Bob Smith. I mean, he's well-known in the state. So it's not going to be a cakewalk for Scott Brown, that's for sure.
Some of these candidates spoke, Gary, at the Northeast Republican Leadership Conference in Nashua over the weekend. And as you know, Gary, one big theme at that gathering was repeal of the Affordable Care Act. And that's been a theme for all these Republican races. But meanwhile, Gary, there was an update concerning the ACA this week. Minuteman Health, a Massachusetts health co-op, gave a little more detail on its plans for New Hampshire. It's real interesting as we look at 2015 and the Affordable Care Act. What happened this week, Gary?
Well, they came and they said they are definitely going to be on the marketplace in 2015, which is good news for everybody because we only had Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield for this year, for 2014. But what was interesting and what everybody's been waiting for is what are your plans for your network? And Minuteman said, we're going to have the widest network possible. And as we know that Anthem had a fairly narrow network. They didn't have all 26 hospitals in the state. They had about 18 or 19. And so Minuteman is saying, if we can afford it, and we're going to go out and we're going to try to have the broadest network possible, which is what people really want.
Although Anthem said, hey, we weren't trying to shut anybody out
right
on purpose, but we were just trying to control costs. And that's really what people want, according to Anthem.
Yeah.
I wonder, how's Minuteman going to do that?
Well, they have $150 million from a federal loan that's part of the ACA that basically allows existing insurance companies to go into other areas where they don't cover as a way of expanding the competition for the healthcare dollar.
Yeah, they're a co-op.
They're a co-op. They basically get $80 million up front from the Affordable Care Act to cover their losses of getting into the state and then another $76 million. In addition, yeah, it's been interesting. Some of the statements by the company CEO and the press conference they had in Concord, you know, they talked about the market being ripe for disruption. They were going to shake things up, go with a really wide network to be price competitive. And there's also some mention as well, as we've talked about before, that Harvard Pilgrim may get in. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of an impact this has on the price competition in the state.
Go ahead, Gary, yeah.
And down the road, we're also going to have these three managed care companies that are running the state's welfare, or the Medicaid program. And everybody expects those three, or at least a couple of those companies, to get in, too, because the Medicaid bill that's going through would let them automatically enroll people that are in their program when they would have to switch to the private insurance.
Oh, now that's really interesting, Gary, and I had not heard that. So those three Medicaid managed care companies might also go on the marketplaces?
Probably not in 2015, but in 2016, which could really make a very broad. We have six companies in the market.
Wow, that would be unusual for a small state like New Hampshire.
It sure would.
All right. Well, the number for you to join us on these stories and more here on the Friday New Hampshire News Roundup is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. By the way, it is NHPR's March Fund Drive. We're trying to wrap this thing up. Please do your part now for NHPR with a contribution of any amount. Go to nhpr.org and thanks. Gentlemen, we really should talk about something that happened late yesterday. And Dean, that's the gas tax. The Senate Finance Committee yesterday finally endorsed a bill to increase the state's gas tax by 4.2 cents. I say finally, Dean, because we've gone around and around and around on this.
Yeah, this has been a longstanding issue. We have not had an increase in the gas tax in over 20 years. It had been tied up for a long time in the debate over casino gambling and, you know, where to get the revenue to repair the state's roads and bridges. This bill was proposed by a Republican in the Senate, which was, I think, partially responsible for breaking the logjam. It's a 4 cent increase. They removed the provision that would have indexed it to inflation or updated it every 4 years. The one change that I think that was made as an amendment the other day was to more precisely target where the money is spent, which, you know, sort of percentages, how much money goes to different sorts of projects, and in particular to tie removal of the gas tax to the paying off of the bond on the widening of I-93 from the state line up to Manchester. So, they're trying to sort of direct this money at this funding of the I-93, which has been a problem.
Can you explain that a little bit more, Gary? Because that was an interesting twist that Dean mentions. Approval of a gas tax increase, but maybe not forever.
Right. And this is a sort of the typical little Senate deal that we see cooked up, you know, between four or five people. What happens is the gas tax goes forward and it goes as long as probably about 20 years, which it would take to pay off these $200 million in bonds that would be issued. The bonds would be used to pay for the $250 million that has in funding that we have no money for the completion of the expansion between Salem and Manchester. And then they do a little sort of switcheroo with some money that has been targeted for the Sarah Long Bridge in Portsmouth. And so they're going to use Garvey bonds, which are like bonds that you can issue in anticipation of federal funds coming to you. And so they're going to switch some of this around so that they get the $250 million they need to finish I-93. Now, I see Senate President Chuck Morse's hands all over this because he's always held out that they were going to use the gambling money for this. It sure doesn't look like we're going to get gambling. So it looks like he's sort of thrown in the towel a little bit here and says, okay, as long as you can fund 993, let's do it. The rest of the money is dedicated to like roads and bridges. And there's up front, there's some money going to the cities and towns, quite a bit of money going to the cities and towns to fix roads and bridges as well.
Now, cities and towns will like that.
Yes,
for
they
sure.
Will.
And in an election year, that's always helpful.
It's always good politics.
Well, coming up, the House says teens can continue tanning at Granite State Tanning Salons. We'll find out more as the Friday New Hampshire News Roundup continues here on NHPR. Let's check in now with our March Fun Drive.
Good morning. This is NHPR's March Fund Drive. I'm Brady Carlson here with Keith Shields, and you can make a big difference on supporting New Hampshire News on the Friday Roundup at the on the Exchange by calling 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org.
1-888-805-6477 is the number to call to help pay for the programs that you depend on, not just the national ones, but the ones that come right out of here, out of New Hampshire Public Radio, like The Exchange and Word of Mouth. In order to stay on track and finish our fund drive on time, we want to raise an additional $2,000 in the next 40 minutes. We can do that. Exchange listeners, we know that you're out there. Support us right now. You call us in every day for the show. Now we're asking for you to call in for your support at 1-888-805-6477. Brady, now $1,900 to go. You can make a contribution online as well at nhpr.org.
And here's another enticement to get you to do your part. We have a trip to London for two for a week. That is the special drawing we have today and now, today only. Round trip airfare included, 6-night stay at a 4-star hotel, and a tour of BBC's iconic broadcast house. This drawing ends tonight at 6 o'clock, so don't miss out on a chance to get in on this special prize. You can enter and give to New Hampshire Public Radio by calling 1-888-805-6477 or by visiting nhpr.org.
Now $1,800 to go in the next 39 minutes to stay on track. Maybe you have not supported New Hampshire Public Radio yet because you've been torn. You've been racking your brain as to what thank you gift you should get. The NHPR baseball cap or the NHPR boat bag. The NHPR boat bag or the baseball cap. Maybe you flipped coins, eeny, meeny, miny, mode. Well, we have something for those fighting the struggle there. For a gift of $20 a month, we will thank you with two of our favorite thank you gifts, both the hat and the boat bag. So pick that up for $20 a month. It's a deal. Support us at nhpr.org or give us a call at 1-888-805-6477.
Now just $1,800 away from this hour's goal. Exchange fans are coming through. That's great. But if we haven't heard from you yet, that's what we're hoping to do right now at 1-888-805-6477. Making this hourly goal will help us stay on track to wrap up this March fund drive. And when we hit the overall fund drive goal, we not only wrap up for March, but we cancel the drive that's now scheduled for June. So that means more programs, less on-air fundraising. Call 1-888-805-6477 or make a gift at nhpr.org.
And we're giving away a week-long trip for two to London to some lucky listener who calls in to New Hampshire Public Radio's March Fund Drive. It'll be round-trip airfare for two, courtesy of Delta Airlines, a six-night stay at a four-star hotel near Piccadilly Circus, a tour of the BBC Broadcast House. But that ends tonight at 6 p.m., and that's why it's important for you to call. We know that you're busy on Fridays. It's probably the busiest weekday that you have, and that's why we're asking you. Maybe you're just getting into work right now. Give us a call. Make sure that you get in on this because you have as much chance of winning as anybody else. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
Now just $1,700. Thanks to every listener who has made a gift during this edition of The Exchange. Your financial support makes the Friday New Hampshire News Roundup possible. And you know, Laura and the panelists don't want to have to just choose one topic to discuss in the course of an hour. There's so many news stories that need discussion and need analysis. You want to make sure that they're all there. Well, in that same way, we know that you don't want to just choose one thank you gift. You don't want to have to choose the hat over the boat bag or the boat bag over the hat. For a $20 a month contribution to New Hampshire Public Radio right now, you don't have to choose. You get them both. You get the boat bag. You get the hat. You're super stylish. You've got carrying capacity. It can be all yours. Just a $20 a month contribution right now at 1-888-805-6477 or $20 a month as a member at nhpr.org.
Now $1,500 to go in the next 37 minutes. Support us now at 1-888-805-6477. Remember, if you become a sustaining member at the $20 per month level, we will thank you with two of our most popular thank you gifts, the NHPR baseball cap and the NHPR boat bag. The bag, it's white with red handles and the NHPR logo on it, so you can choose the red hat if you really want to match your bag, or you can choose the blue hat if you want to go with a little more of a patriotic look. 1-888-805-6477. Whatever you can do, $900 to go. Support us right now at nhpr.org.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 924. Good morning. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, during our March Fund Drive, and support also comes to us from Centrix Bank. See beyond with Centrix Bank. Banking solutions customized to your business. Information available at centrixbank.com. From LaValle Middleton Building Supply, providing Trex composite decking and railing for the beauty of natural wood with the durability of composite. Information at lavalleys.com. And from Downs Racklin Martin, experienced legal advisors to wireless and wireline broadband service providers across northern New England. Information at drm.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup, and we're covering some of the stories that made headlines this week, including the very real possibility of a higher gas tax in New Hampshire. Also, a little bit later, we'll talk about a new bill that would extend domestic violence protections to pets. You can join us on these and the other stories that we're covering, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. And Gary Reno, Dean Spiliotis, I did want to ask you about a bill that got a lot of attention this week. And Gary, that's a bill to ban teens from going to tanning salons. Anybody under age 18 couldn't go to a tanning salon anymore. The vote was relatively close, 175 to 154, so about 20 votes there. What prompted this bill, Gary?
Well, I mean, it's been an issue here for a while in terms of the tanning. And, I mean, the current law basically is that you need your parents' permission if you're under 18 to tan, and that 14-year-olds are still, you needed a doctor's written permission to be in a tanning salon. So, I mean, there's some
restrictions already then.
There are already restrictions here. Now, this one would have prohibited 18 and younger. Largely due, the supporters were saying you have all these issues with skin cancer, more and more, we have more and more skin cancer. A lot of it's being tied to tanning at an early age. And so this was the impetus for this bill.
Wow. And it went down by about
20 votes, which was pretty close, really. I mean, it was in, and it went, it was basically a bipartisan vote. It wasn't really down party lines. And, it, you know, it just brings out all the old nanny state questions and all that. And that's what all the debate was about. You know, we're going to be a nanny state and tell parents that you can, you know, your daughter can't go to the tanning salon if she wants to and all this and that.
Very interesting. Dean, your take on this?
Exactly right. You know, this taps into sort of longstanding libertarian strain in our state and larger debates about the role of government in relation to parental rights over minors. And so I was not surprised to hear arguments about this is sort of an example of the government horning in on an area that should be the domain of parents. And so, you know, I think kind of in keeping with these types of issues in our state, the expectation is that you avoid impinging on parental consent wherever possible. And I think that's sort of the general theme that came out of the debate.
20 votes, though. That's pretty close. Are you surprised?
It is close. Maybe a little bit, but you know there is a lot of evidence now about how potentially dangerous tanning is. It doesn't have the aura that it once had. Although, you know, as I drive around the state, I do see a number of tanning salons in various parts of the state. So there is some portion of the population that still does it. But you know, the norm now really is all about covering up and using sunscreen and avoiding unnecessary tanning.
The phone number here in the exchange for you to join us on this and other topics that we're covering in our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Well, from tanning, gentlemen, to two very tough issues, which returned Gary Reno to the House this week, abortion bills and gun bills. Now, there was several abortion bills. Gary, if you could just briefly describe these.
Well, there were four of them, basically. One would have required licensing of abortion clinics. Another one would have established that life begins at conception. A third one would have collected data on abortions. And probably the biggest one would have added fetus to the homicide bill.
And what happened to these?
Well, for the most part, they went down, except for the data collection, which was sent to interim study, which is a polite death, basically.
Mm. Interim study.
Right.
And there was a fetal homicide bill that got changed and altered. It's very confusing, Gary. There's a lot of moving parts there.
There were a lot of moving parts to that. I mean, this bill has been before the legislature a number of times. But this time, a representative from the North Country whose daughter was in an accident last summer and lost a fetus put the bill in and was very emotional about the whole issue. And the bill that actually came to before the floor and actually that did pass, actually, was one which basically enhances the penalty if there is a fetus killed during an accident. It was more aimed at what happened on a I-89 this summer where the person was trying to commit suicide, went over and hit the car and killed all two people who were in it, as well as the baby, unborn baby. And that was more what this was aimed at instead of what was originally started.
Well, and we did a program on these bills earlier this year. And Dean Spiliotis, the feeling that emerged from that program, even among those who supported these bills, was that they probably wouldn't pass given the strong Democratic majority in the House. So why bring them forward at all?
Well, most immediately, it is an election year, and I think it's an opportunity for elected officials to make a statement in either direction on these bills for their core constituencies. To some extent, it's also part of the sort of larger, never-ending, ongoing pitch battle on a cultural, religious, ideological dimension, you know, between groups, right-to-life groups versus Planned Parenthood, or if we're talking about the gun debate, you know, gun rights groups versus gun safety groups. These debates, these battles over legislation are ongoing in every session. We always see these kinds of bills pop up, you know, and how they do, I think, is really kind of a sign of, you know, where the state is at a given moment in terms of the distribution of votes in the legislature. But they're always going to be there. They're sort of core identifying issues on both sides. And so it's an opportunity to make a statement in an election year and reassure your core groups that you have their interests at heart, but very often they don't go anywhere. And if they do, it's really a function of the dynamics of the legislature at that moment, sort of in terms of the ideological distribution.
Also a function of how our own New Hampshire legislature works, right, Gary? Every bill gets a hearing, even if it only has one supporter.
So you can make a statement.
And every bill comes to the floor and every bill gets a vote.
That's very different, isn't it?
It's very different than a lot of places. A lot of places where bills can get killed in committee, held in committee, never get out of committee. Every bill comes, at least gets a vote. And that just sort of everybody who puts in a bill is going to have their opportunity to put it out. And this bill, these abortion bills and the gun bill, probably were two of the longest debates we've had so far this year.
What was the gun bill, Gary?
The gun bill was basically it started out as a bill that would have said if you're from Vermont or some other state that doesn't have any restrictions on concealed carry, you could carry in New Hampshire without a license, where we do require a license to conceal carry. It got changed into a study that would said we should study to see if our laws are sufficient to protect for the background checks, if we should have more strict penalties, et cetera. And so this just caused this huge blow up in the House. And it went on for on and on with all sorts of procedural questions going on and parliamentary maneuvering and arguments and back and forth. And it's sort of like both this and the abortion bill, it sort of seems like what we might call, filibuster in New Hampshire legislature.
Even though we don't officially have
a
filibuster.
It sort of seemed to be the same sort of thing.
All right. Well, again, the number for you to join us on these issues and others that we're covering in our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup, whether it's the tanning bed bill that went down or the gas tax bill that was approved, we want to hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. Join us on the Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. 1-800-892-6477. I also want to remind you that it is NHPR's March Fund Drive. Please do your part now for NHPR. Contribute any amount that feels reasonable for you, but help us get over the edge with this March Fund Drive. Go to NHPR.org and thanks. Well, and the House also, gentlemen, they were busy there this week, voted to send half of the state's surplus to Health and Human Services. So Dean Spiliotis, about $7 million out of a $15 million total surplus. A surprise, Dean, or expected?
Not a surprise that the House would do this. I think it's probably not going to go anywhere, and we can talk about why the Senate will likely not agree to this. Yes, the House voted 185 to 153 to send, almost half of this $15 million surplus to Health and Human Services. In the last budget, there were some back-of-the-budget cuts in which Health and Human Services was said, you need to cut about $7 million out of your operating budget. You figure out how to do it. This is a way to kind of restore that money. The other roughly $8 million would go to the state's rainy day fund, which right now I believe has about $9 million in it. It's supposed to have closer to $70 million, I think 5% of the operating of the general fund budget. So, the House wants to restore some of this money. The Senate has already passed a bill sending all $15 million to the rainy day fund. My guess, and Gary can chime in on this, is that it's not going to go anywhere in the Senate.
Wow. So what happens then? All $15 million, Gary, just goes to the rainy day fund?
I mean, if nothing gets done, which is what probably will happen, yes, it will. But
so the Senate will get its way on that.
Probably.
By default. Right?
By default, yeah. I mean, they're going to have a disagreement about this. The Senate wants it all to go. The House wants this $7 million to go because they said we're going to have cuts to the CHINS program and
services. Children in Need of Services.
The service link for the elderly and the developmentally disabled services. So, but the Senate's saying Health and Human Services ought to be able to find that money in its own budget.
Again, the number here in the exchange, 1-800-892-6477. Another bill that caught our attention this week was approved by the House Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee. This, Gary Reyna, would extend domestic violence protection orders to pets. Wow. What kind of situations came up when lawmakers discussed this bill?
Well, people for a long time have been saying that these pets have been used as pawns in various disagreements in the domestic violence and domestic situations, and that the pets deserve to be able to, or somebody deserves to be able to take custody of their pets almost like they take custody of a child. That these pets are often used as, I'm going to harm your cat if you don't do this and that. And
so
whatever.
If you leave, I'm going to kill the cats or whatever.
Things like that. And so this bill would basically say, as part of the domestic order, the judge can say that the pets go with so-and-so or they stay with so-and-so.
Yeah, it's easy, Dean, to look at this at first and go, what? You know, but it is serious. These have been used, as Gary said, as pawns.
Yeah, you can joke about, you know, your dog taking out a restraining order against your spouse. But I think, you know, the serious underlying issue here is that, and as some supporters have argued, that people who that sort of the propensity for violence towards family pets is very similar and overlapping with the propensity of violence towards a significant other. You know, the opponents say that, you know, this sort of an unintended way it may make matters even worse because people will start to use the pets as a means of getting some sort of advantage, either in a divorce or some other sort of custody situation. So, you know, I think either way, the concern is that the pets kind of get stuck in the middle. But, you know, the argument is that you should give judges the ability to grant custody of a pet as part of a domestic violence decision or restraining order.
Let's take a call, gentlemen. Again, the number for you to join the Friday New Hampshire News Roundup is 1-800-892-6477. Join us as we catch up on some of the top headlines of the week. Jeff's calling in from Warner. Hi, Jeff. You're on the Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to go back to the handgun permit to carry topic.
Sure.
And I'm a gun owner, I'm a hunter, and I sometimes carry a handgun when I'm hiking in the woods for rabies and, you know, stuff like that. And my comment is, and what should, I'm kind of sick and tired of the gun lobby just always saying no, 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 no to everything that's going on in this state and in the country. And my comment is that, you know, to hunt anywhere in this country, a person has to take a hunter safety class with a heavy focus on firearm safety. And so for here in New Hampshire and maybe else in other states in this country, I'd like to know why it is that I have to do that to go out into the forest where there's nobody else around and carry a gun. But if I am applying to carry a gun and walk through Manchester, downtown Concord, or wherever I want to be, there's no requirement for any firearm safety class.
Jeff, thank you for calling in. And Gary, what do you think about this comment and where it lines up in terms of where New Hampshire's gun debate goes from here after this House debacle? Not debacle, but big debate. What did you call it? Filibuster.
Filibuster. Well, I mean, New Hampshire's always been known as a gun-friendly state. And generally speaking, it has been, and truthfully, it has been without much controversy until about 2 or 3 years ago. And now, all of a sudden, we've had all kinds of issues with gun rights and changes to the state's laws. And he's right. I mean, you do have to take a hunter safety course. I mean, obviously, you don't want people shooting their neighbor when they think they're shooting a deer. But the other side of it is, they don't have to take a safety course to carry a handgun or have a concealed weapon. All they need is the police chief basically saying that that's okay. And he's absolutely right. And I mean, that's part of the way the tradition sort of has been in New Hampshire. It's been sort of hands off.
Jeff, thanks for your call. We'll take more of your calls after we check in with our March Fund Drive.
And NHPR is NPR News. NHPR is also good companionship, and perhaps that's why you listen. We're here when you want us, thanks to listener contributions. Make your contribution now at during our March Fund Drive at online at nhpr.org or giving us a call at 1-888-805-6477. I'm Keith Shields, executive producer of the show you're listening to right now, here with All Things Considered host Brady Carlson.
Good morning, Exchange fans. You have been coming through this morning during the Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. Now just $900 away from this hour's goal with 20 minutes left to raise it. Your gift right now, it's say $20 a month or $25 a month, will make a huge difference in future editions of the Friday New Hampshire News Roundup when you call 1-888-805-6477 or when you visit nhpr.org to make your gift on the web.
And if making a contribution right now to help make our hourly goal is not incentive enough, here's something even more of an incentive. Contributing to support New Hampshire Public Radio now, you're automatically entered to win a trip for two to London. That's round trip airfare for two on Delta Airlines, a 6-night stay at a 4-star hotel. And you and your guests will get a tour of the BBC's brand new state of the art multimedia broadcasting center in the heart of London. Somebody will win that who has supported us during our March fun drive. That could be you if you do call in right now, because the deadline to enter is 6 p.m. tonight. That is not a lot of time. So that's why we're asking you to call us now at 1-888-805-6477 or make a gift online to nhpr.org.
Now, just $800 left on this hourly goal. We are getting closer and closer to wrapping that up and keeping the exchange strong for years to come. And I have another great reason for you to make a gift right now to New Hampshire Public Radio, because we have a special deal on thank you gifts for a $20 a month sustaining membership right now. You'll get two thank you gifts. You'll get the brand new NHPR baseball hat. I'm holding one right now. It is sturdy and stylish all at once. It's blue or red. You get to choose the NHPR logo on the front. And you will also get the brand new NHPR boat bag, which is sturdy, stylish, lots of carrying capacity. You can take it with you wherever you go, just like public radio. Check out those thank you gifts at nhpr.org, and you can have both of them for one $20 a month contribution, or call 1-888-805-6477.
That really is a great deal, Brady. Definitely want to take advantage of that. And our membership drive, it's going so great. $800 to raise in the next 18 minutes to stay on track and finish our fund drive on time. And when we meet our goal at the end of the March fund drive, we would be able to skip our June membership drive. That is, if we make our goals and if we kind of finish on time. Now $700 to go. Support New Hampshire Public Radio. Help us make our goals. Help us not have a June membership drive at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
If we make that goal and we wrap up the March fund drive and we cancel that drive scheduled for June, it means there's more on-air programming, less on-air fundraising. That means more conversations like what we're hearing on today's edition of the Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. More of Laura and her panelists talking about the issues that matter for us here in the Granite State, and not Keith and I interrupting to ask for your support, because you've already supported it. Here's the number to call. It's 1-888-805-6477 or visit nhpr.org.
And just because there's less fundraising doesn't mean that we still won't be able to provide you with the great quality programs, whether it's the exchange and word of mouth or the national programs like All Things Considered and Morning Edition. Support New Hampshire Public Radio right now. And also remember, if you call in before 6 o'clock today, you will be entered for that trip to London for two that includes airfare and a 6-night stay at a hotel and a tour of the BBC's broadcast house. So support New Hampshire Public Radio right now at 1-888-805-6477. $600 to go. Make a contribution as well online at nhpr.org.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 944. Good morning. New Hampshire weather turning partly sunny for most of the state today, staying mostly cloudy north of the mountains with a chance of rain or snow showers. Windy highs today, mid-30s to lower 40s. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, during our March Fund Drive, and support also comes to us from the Melanson Company of Keene and Bow, 80 years of providing comprehensive roofing solutions, now offering solar energy solutions, including roof integrated systems, Melanson.com. From the law offices of Catherine J. Morneau, focusing on collaborative law practice, an alternative to the traditional practice of adversarial family litigation. More at MorneauLaw.com. And from Home Healthcare Hospice and Community Services, offering the opportunity to talk about end-of-life planning at the Conservation Cafe, March 26. Information at hcsservices.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Monday on The Exchange, a new biography of Jimmy Carter by a Dartmouth professor. Join us for that conversation on Monday. Today, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup, and you can join us now by calling 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange at nhpr.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange, all one word. Well, Gary Reno, Dean Spiliotis, bad news in Manchester this week for workers at the Osram Sylvania plant there. Big layoffs, Dean, 139 people. The state is already moving in and saying, you know, how can we help these folks? Noting that New Hampshire unemployment numbers for February just came out at 4.7%. So hoping that there'll be another place for these people.
That's right. I mean, that was good news that the unemployment rate is down to 4.7% in New Hampshire. Yes, 139 jobs in Manchester. They're also closing operations in Rhode Island and Pennsylvania. I think the total number of workers affected is close to 350 workers. These are effective in September. You know, this is all about lighting and sort of change, sort of legislative changes in the technological requirements for lighting from incandescent to LED. We should note that Sylvania has some plants in Hillsborough and Exeter in the auto market that are still quite active. You know, there's a little bit of debate about why this is happening. You know, the initial explanation from Ashram Sylvania was all about these kinds of bigger forces in the lighting market and their need to retrench as a result. But, you know, as we've heard, in fact, from some reporting from here at NHPR, some of the operations are being shifted to operations in Mexico and China. So, you know, that's sort of the unfortunate side of this for people who like the jobs here in New Hampshire. But there is this kind of bigger change in the lighting market based on, you know, sort of legislative decisions and also just changing technology and how people use lighting.
Do you want to jump into Gary
sure.
Reno? Your colleague Dave Solomon did some good work on this mm-hmm. week, including a piece today that says that the work now being done in Manchester is being moved to Mexico and China.
Yeah, I mean, Sylvania has been one of the more stable manufacturers in the state, and it's one of the top 10 in terms of the size. And so it's been here for a long time. I mean, the plant in Hillsborough has always been a huge employer in that area. And same way in Exeter, pretty large plant. Those, particularly the one in Hillsborough, does mostly auto lighting, which is still going great guns. In fact, they added 30 jobs just recently over there. So this it's kind of a, you know, we're seeing a juggling act here trying to find out where the least cost is, obviously, and they're moving jobs offshore here, basically, is what we're seeing.
Well, speaking of work and employment, last week the House passed a bill to decouple New Hampshire's minimum wage from the federal wage of $7.25 an hour and to raise it to $8.25 and then eventually $9. Gary, now it's the state Senate's turn. They'll be looking at this. There's mm-hmm. not any active voting going on right now, but it is in their lap. And Democratic senators are honing their arguments about this. Andrew Hosmer of Laconia, for example, recently went out and talked about this. What are some of the arguments that we're hearing, Gary?
Well, we're hearing it hasn't been raised in a long time, and people are losing their buying power as we go along, and that people need to be able to make a livable wage. And I mean, even at the $7.25 an hour, that's like about $15,000 a year. And I mean, we all know that $15,000 a year doesn't buy a whole lot in New Hampshire. And the Democrats are using this basically. They see this as a good issue for the upcoming election. We're with the working people. We're trying to help people, particularly. And they're, you know, unsaid here, obviously, is the income and inequity, the issue that's been out there for quite a while. The Senate, however, is as soon as like just last year killed a bill that would have increased the minimum wage. And I don't think there's going to be any change in that. I don't think the people haven't changed in the Senate since last year. And this bill is probably dead on arrival in the Senate.
Do you want to jump in there?
Sure.
Dean?
You know, we already know that this issue of a minimum wage, of a living wage, income inequality, these are going to be big themes in the November midterm elections. President Obama has been trying to make some changes to the minimum wage at the federal level through executive order and other types of changes in regulations. You know, these are longstanding competing arguments. Republicans have traditionally argued that if you raise the minimum wage, it puts undue burden on small businesses. They then either reduce hours or the number of employees so that they can meet their payrolls. You know, the other side of the argument is that, you know, if you give people a living wage, and you always hear examples about, you know, people working at McDonald's or some other entry-level job where they're also getting food stamps because they can't make a living wage, that if you give these people a living wage, they're then in turn most likely to spend that money back into the economy immediately. So that has an overall boost as well. So this is just one of those debates where they're just sort of competing views about how the economy works. I'll note at the national level, the Congressional Budget Office, which studies a lot of this stuff, came out with a study that said that raising the minimum wage to roughly $10 an hour was going to cost about 500,000 jobs, and Republicans seized on that immediately as evidence that a minimum wage increase would be counterproductive. So, you know, as we know, that the O'Brien legislature, I think it was in 2011, abolished our state minimum wage. So we now rely on the federal minimum wage, but this would restore it to a state wage, end up at $9 an hour. Governor Hassan has been a little vague, but I think she, in general, she's been clear that she supports the concept in principle.
So, she won't give you a number.
Yeah, she won't give you a number, but she generally seems willing to explore the issue.
Well, and finally this week, more pride for UNH after one of its alums won an Oscar recently for her work on the hit movie Frozen. Gary, we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Sure did.
Now a current UNH student is getting national recognition. This is a big deal. Who is it, Gary? What's he doing?
Well, he's on American Idol.
Yay.
And he's doing very well. He's a singer, songwriter, guitarist.
Alex Preston.
Alex Preston is his name. He's from Mount Vernon, and he's a student at UNH. And I do believe he's a liberal arts student and not a STEM student.
Dean?
Yeah, you know, as
you're an Idol fan from what you've told me.
I am a regular Idol watcher, as are several people in my family. Yes, you know, his actor's name is Alex Preston Philbrick. He goes by Alex Preston as kind of his stage name. As of last night, he is now officially in the top nine. He did an excellent rendition this week of One Direction's Story of My Life. For pop music fans who are not watching Idol, he's a lot like a Jason Mraz type of singer. The big news for him is this means he gets to be on the summer tour, which is a big tour. It's at least like 50 to 70 dates. They make a nice chunk of change.
Wow.
So it'll be a nice summer payday for him, and it'll certainly help him with his UNH tuition.
Well, that's great. Well, Alex, everybody in New Hampshire is rooting for you. That's fantastic. What are you gentlemen going to be tracking next week? Gary, boy, things are just churning at the legislature.
They sure are. We have all sorts of things going on at the legislature. Actually, we're coming up next week is crossover, which is the day which is Thursday is the deadline, which means all the House passed bills have to go to the Senate and all the Senate passed bills have to go to the House. And it's always a madhouse. Next week is always the worst week of the year. And we have in the House, we have Medicaid expansion is going to be up Tuesday. We have the legalization of marijuana is going to be here. In the Senate, we have a couple of bills. We have the gas tax that's going to be here, and we have another gun bill that's coming up in the Senate. So we're going to have all sorts of things to follow up next week, I'm sure.
Okay, well, eat your Wheaties next week
absolutely.
There, Gary. How about you, Dean?
Gary said it's the worst week of the year. I think you could make the argument it's one of the best weeks of the year. There's just a lot going on. It's a lot of fun to kind of take stock of where both chambers are at this point before the legislation crosses over. So, you know, other than following all that, I'm going to be looking to see if Scott Brown is going to be willing to sign that pledge. I don't think anything's going to happen until he becomes an announced candidate, but it has been very interesting to watch that race heat up and the ejection of kind of the national visibility aspect of it that you just would not have had not Scott Brown decided to test the waters.
All right. Well, gentlemen, great to talk to you as always, and we'll see you again soon. Thank you for being here.
Sure. Thanks, Laura.
You're welcome.
Let's check in now with NHPR's March Fund Drive.
And NHPR is here for you every day to keep you informed, to introduce you to new ideas, to make your life a little more interesting. And that's thanks to listener contributions. It's our March Fund Drive, so please make your contribution now at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org. I'm Keith Shields, executive producer of The Exchange, and here's Brady Carlson with more.
Good morning. Exchange fans have been making huge progress during this hour, and now just $400 left to go to meet our hourly goal. That will help us stay on track to wrap up this March Fund Drive on time. Your gift right now makes a huge difference when you call 1-888-805-6477 or when you visit nhpr.org to make your gift on the web. Either way, make your gift right now.
And doing it right now, you won't miss 1 second of the Diane Rehm Show. Coming up in a few minutes, it's the domestic news roundup on the Diane Rehm Show. That will be followed by the International News Roundup, two very popular shows, and a reason why we on the Exchange decided to start the New Hampshire News Roundup. So now on Friday, you have 3 hours that complement each other, and when they're done, you feel like you have a much better understanding of what's going on, not only globally, but what's going on in your own backyard, and not just the important debates in the State House, but those interesting stories, like that we have an American Idol contestant right now living in our own state. 1-888-805-6477 is the number to call to support those kind of programs, or you can make a contribution online at nhpr.org.
It's the Friday News Roundups that take you around the world to keep in touch with the news, and this Friday could actually take you across the ocean. We have a trip to London for two for a week. That's our special drawing that ends later today. You get a six-night stay at a four-star hotel, round-trip airfare for two, and a tour of the iconic BBC broadcast house. That's donated in part by Milne Travel American Express, and that trip can be yours if you're entered before 6 o'clock tonight. You make sure you're entered by making a gift now at nhpr.org or by calling 1-888-805-6477.
And if that gift is $20 a month or a one-time gift of $240, we will thank you with this special offer that we're offering right now. Two of our most popular thank you gifts, all for $20 a month. It includes the NHPR baseball cap and the NHPR boat bag. The boat bag is white with a red strap. The baseball cap, you can choose between red or blue. Think about it. You could take it with you to London. You could kind of use that bag as your carry-on bag. You could have that. Doesn't that sunny in London? But you could still wear that baseball cap with pride, maybe to avoid the raindrops. Support us right now. Get that great offer. Get in on that trip to London. 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
And that $20 a month sustaining membership to NHPR would not only help us make this hour's goal, it would make us go over that goal. Now just $150 left to meet that goal. That is fantastic news. But let's keep the momentum building because the end of this fund drive is in sight. When we make these goals and the overall March fund drive goal, we'll not only wrap up this drive successfully, but we'll cancel a drive that's now scheduled for June. We'll just take that right off the calendar and say, nope, more uninterrupted programming. You can make all of that possible right now at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org.
It really is a great incentive. That means when things are wrapping up in the State House and you're going to want to know what's going on before a break, we won't have to interrupt that with fundraising breaks. When you're going to want to know the top stories that are happening as the political season heats up this summer, we won't have to interrupt that with extra fundraising. That's why we're asking you to call in right now. Help us make that additional $150. That will keep us on pace to end this fund drive on time and to eliminate that June drive. Support us now if you have not done so already. 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
Just 2 minutes left to raise that $150. I know we can do that with your contribution right now. And when you make that gift, you, of course, will be entered into this spectacular drawing for a trip for two to London. A week in London. There's so much culture. There are so many attractions. Simply people watching in one of the world's great cities. That could be you on the way to London, but not if you're not entered before 6 o'clock. Take a moment right now while it's on your mind before this day really gets underway at 1-888-805-6477. Make sure you don't miss out on this trip to London by making a gift now at nhpr.org.
If you look forward to Fridays, not only because the weekend is impending, but because you get 3 hours of roundup shows on the Exchange with the New Hampshire News Roundup, but the national and international roundup on the Diane Rehm Show, shows that I hear are extremely popular to our listeners. We'll support that kind of programming right now. Help us stay on track, because when we meet these goals, we know that we'll be able to pay for these shows in the months to come. $150 in the next 1 minute to stay on track, to end our fundraiser on time, to even eliminate that June drive. 1-888-805-6477 or make a gift online on our safe and secure website, nhpr.org.
A big thank you to the Exchange fans who have made this hour of the Friday New Hampshire News Roundup so successful, and to keep future editions so strong. Your gift right now will put us over the top on this hour's goal. Here's the number to call. It's 1-888-805-6477. You can also make a safe, secure gift at our website, nhpr.org. And thanks so much.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio with the Diane Rehm Show next. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, during our March Fund Drive and from Hawley Oil, offering automatic delivery, 24-hour burner service, and delivering bioheat to customers in Manchester, Concord, and surrounding towns. Hawley Oil, online at halleoil.com. And Centrix Bank, see beyond with Centrix Bank, providing complete business banking services to small to medium